And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice, presented by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL.
What's good, everybody? Thursday morning, NHL Fantasy on Ice, presented by our good friends over at Skip in Canada. Pete and Nick back with you. Usual mailbag edition of Fantasy on Ice. What's going on, Nick? How's your week going?
It's going very, very well. Happy November to you. And of course, Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL. And we are delivering on this episode too. So happy to bring in Ben Zweiman, Senior Managing Editor for DraftKings Nation. Ben, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, guys. Everything's going well. Hockey season's going great so far. I'm really happy to be back on the show and ready to get into some hockey.
What's been your major takeaway, Ben, from the first month of the season so far?
Expect the unexpected, I feel like, is a big theme. I've been playing a lot of DFS on a couple websites. Some nights you think you have it, some nights you think you don't, especially with betting too. There've been a lot of surprise teams. We're seeing some teams that, you know, like last season didn't really do as well, like the Senators, Devils. A lot of these teams are sort of rising to the top. Sabres are another one. They got a big win over the Penguins last night. So I think it's really going into each slate and each night kind of expecting like insanity, honestly.
So Ben, if anyone doesn't know, is a Devils guy. So that's the first thing I wanted to ask you about. We've been talking them up on this show for a while. Their scoring depth, the weakness in goal has looked a little better lately. They trounced the Vancouver Canucks the other day on the road. I was really surprised and impressed by that, Ben. And when you look big picture, this team is top five in puck possession, shot attempts percentage. So that is another one of those metrics in their favor right now.
Yeah, and that's really how they're doing all of this, right? It reminds me a lot of those Blackhawks teams that were winning cups back in the day, where they didn't have the best goaltending, but their possession numbers were insane. They were just generating so many shots. The more time you spend in the opponent's zone, the less time you're in your own zone, giving up scoring opportunities. So I think that's the type of play that they've adopted. And the speed is there. Everyone's talking about their speed and they're rolling four lines. Brott's been great. Hughes is actually like not found it yet. I think that's a big thing. His shooting percentage is down. He's getting pucks on net, but he's not converting into goals. So I think once that starts to come, the Devils might even get better. Their schedule's been soft though so far this season. They're going to get into a stretch. They're out in Western Canada. So they got the Oilers tonight, I think. Yep. And then they play the Flames on a back-to-back. So we'll see. Once they start playing better teams, I think that'll give us a better idea. Like you said, the goaltending is kind of the big question mark, but really if you're Blackwood and Vanacek, like, If you're seeing 20, 25 shots a game because your team is in the other zone so often, I don't think it's going to matter as much as long as you're making the saves that you need to be that you need to make.
I love this saying, proof will be in the pudding. And certainly, as you mentioned, we'll find out over the next little while if the New Jersey Devils are real or not so much. I'm happy you brought up this topic off the top here. Convince me the Devils are beating the Edmonton Oilers on Thursday, because that's the big conundrum in my world from a betting point of view. When you look at that game, first and foremost, over seven potentially, I think there's going to be fireworks in that one, Ben.
Yeah, I agree. It should be up and down, just because you look at the Blue Jackets and Canucks, the teams that the Devils have beat the past two games, and they're just sort of riddled with injuries. Their defense isn't nearly as good as the Oilers. And I mean, McDavid and Draisaitl are locked in. You saw what they did to the Predators the other night. So I expect it'll be a back and forth kind of 6-5 game. Very high scoring. It'll be a big test because the Oilers don't have terrible goaltending between Campbell and Skinner. So I'm excited. I think that the Devils can win. I'm optimistic at this point. Do I think that they pull it off? Not necessarily, but like I said, I think it's a tight game and I think it's super high scoring.
And we talk about sell high candidates this time of year. We're into the month of November. Maybe there's no bigger sell high candidate than Jesper Bratt. There are some others out there. Erik Karlsson comes to mind. You know, so many guys overachieving. Now is the time to capitalize on them, but it's never going to get any better for Jesper Bratt with a 10 game point streak to open the season. Do you see him sustaining this big picture, Ben? I mean, is he going to be a point per game or better player? I know last year he had a great successful breakout season, was not playing that much with Jack Hughes. Now he is playing with their best centerman.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to come down to injuries. Last season, Hughes went down. He missed, I think, around 20, 25 games. So I think that impacted Brodd a lot. And consistency. The Devils last season were always blending their lines, mostly because of injuries and mostly because forwards weren't playing well. So I think if Brodd can play on a line with Hughes, which I think is what is, I think that's what Lindy Ruff wants. I think he wants to keep him with Hughes. I think that's great for Brodd. If they stay healthy, perfect. They're going to be on the power play. The power play is finally, it's finally been solved. Andrew Brunette has finally solved this Devils power play, it seems, because the power play hadn't been effective since, I want to say, when Taylor Hall won MVP. So if they can keep the power play sustained, if Brodd and Hughes and Hischier and Dougie, if the team can stay healthy, like, I think, yeah, Brodd can definitely be around a point per game player.
In conclusion, Devils fans, stay out of my mentions. We're pimping your team on this week's episode, so congratulations. Ben, everybody has sort of their go-to guys when it comes to shot props and just DFS in general. Who are some guys that you've just really, really liked to juice their squeeze in this season?
I mean, it depends night in and night out. The Rangers, I'm a Devils fan, so you know, it's tough, but the Rangers have been super. I was riding them early on in the season when they were hot. They started the season with back-to-back games of 7 goals. That team's just stacked. The top two lines are playing really well. Zibanejad and Panarin look like MVP candidates, honestly. Panarin's MVP odds have actually jumped up. I did a little write-up on DKN if you want to check that out for Hart Trophy. His odds are up. So, the Rangers are definitely a team where you know they're going to get the minutes. You know they're going to be on the power play. You know that they're kind of, you know, going to get their opportunities. The Senators are interesting, too. They've been really good. Shane Pinto's a guy that everyone's sort of talking about. He's been on a tear. Brady Tkachuk's great. Batherson, Stutzel, that line's been really good. And people still think it's the Senators, you know? That's the big thing. A lot of people, like even the Kraken are a good example. The other night against the Flames, I was all on the Flames, thought the Flames would just take care of them pretty easily. Kraken are playing well. They're a team that's going to, you know, go relatively under-owned in DFS. Same with the Senators on most nights, just because people aren't looking at any of those forwards on the Kraken. So some of those teams, the Kings are another one. Gabe Vilardi, I got on my fantasy team. He's been super hot. I think some of those teams that weren't great last season who are performing this season, that's where you want to look in DFS on certain nights.
And you mentioned Gabe Vilardi and Pinto. I mean, we posed the question on the fantasy Instagram page, biggest steal of the season so far. Vilardi, Pinto, Kubalik, Nichus, Nichushkin prior to his injury. Tage Thompson's another guy that has really exploded over the past 3 or 4 games and building upon his breakout season from last year, kind of like Jesper Brad is for the Devils. I look at those two teams, I kind of lean towards Buffalo as a team that I like a little bit more. Curious to hear your thoughts compared to the Devils. Both of those teams were teams that I didn't have in the playoffs entering the season, but certainly warming up to over the first month.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah. It's actually funny you bring up the Devils and Sabres because I think there's a lot of similarities between the two. I think where the Sabres lack is on the blue line, right? The Devils have a way deeper blue line, I think, just with Dougie Hamilton, Siegenthaler, John Marino's been fantastic. Severson is on the bottom pairing, and he's been a top pairing guy. So I think that's kind of the difference. But the Sabres have a lot of those young forwards where in a season or two, you're going to see them emerge, like Mittelstad, Cousins, Alex Tuck was a great get for them. Like you said, Tage Thompson's all anyone's talking about. He's an interesting case. Like, they paid him, so he's already locked up. He's in his prime. He's at 25 years old. He was kind of a late bloomer. He had a really good season last year with 38 goals. So I think he's kind of emerging as this top line center guy. It's really like him becoming more consistent in other areas of the game, and that's what's going to get him more ice time. Because right now he's going to get his opportunities scoring. He's gone the power play. That Sabres team, I think, is pretty deep. And again, as they gain more confidence, similar to the Devils, right? The Devils are kind of gaining confidence and winning games now. And once that starts to happen, the team all buys in. And I think the Sabres will be able to at least hang around and be competitive enough to compete for a playoff spot later on.
Oh, they're like me at a buffet line. They're going to be sniffing around all night. Are buffet lines even a thing anymore, by the way? But the Boston Bruins I wanted to get to as well. I think this is an epic story. Like, we're all writing the eulogy for this team. Too many injuries, and like, they have not skipped a beat. It feels like the last dance, if you will, although I could see Bergeron signing 1 year deal after 1 year deal. But what have you made of Boston's start so far?
Yeah, they're super interesting. I was on the same train as you guys where I was writing them off. I really thought this was it for the Bruins, especially looking at the Atlantic, right? Like, the Senators are better, the Sabres are better, the Habs are kind of in that like middle ground, and the Red Wings similar, but you thought that the Lightning, Panthers, Maple Leafs would be too much for the Bruins to deal with. But it's just a testament to continuity with that line, right? Pasternak, Bergeron. I know Marchand was out for the start of the season, but now he's back. DeBrusque has been there for a while. Taylor Hall, having Taylor Hall as a depth guy is perfect for them, I think. And they're really good at just picking up guys and plugging them in. Like, I watched Pavel Zacha for a while, and he was not good on the Devils, and I never thought it was really his fault. So to see him sort of do well with a good team is nice to see. And I mean, again, Foligno, Charlie Coyle, they have a deep blue line. They're gonna get McAvoy back, which is scary, right? Like, yeah. They don't even have him back yet. But yeah, it's just sort of a testament to that style of play and the leadership. I think that's really what it has to do. Will they regress? I think so. I think their schedule to start the season was a little bit soft. So once they get into the next couple of weeks in November, I think we'll see them come back to earth a little bit. But yeah, I mean, at this point, would it surprise anyone if they just go keep this up and win the President's Trophy? Like, they've done this before where they just have that sustained hockey. Plus, they play defense. No one plays defense in the NHL.
True. Yeah, since we last talked, Krejci did get injured, so that's maybe one thing that I'm worried about if they are going to regress a little bit. But like you said, even without Charlie Mack, Hampus Lindholm right now is third among defensemen in points with 11 in 10 games. Maybe that's a sell high candidate to look at, but the Stanley Cup futures appeal is alive and well with those Boston Bruins. They certainly look a lot better than the Toronto Maple Leafs, who bounced back yesterday. Speaking of defensemen, Ben, what do you make of some of these surprises? You think this could stick with guys like Rasmus Dahlin and Erik Karlsson leading defensemen in points? I think both of those are a surprise. Maybe we expected a full-fledged breakout from Dahlin at some point as the Sabres got better. But Erik Karlsson, blast from the past right now with the way that guy's playing with a Hattie the other day, first time of his career.
Yeah, Karlsson, he's done it before, right? So it really just comes down to health. And I feel like he's been injured a lot the last couple of seasons, and he hasn't really been right. And the Sharks have gotten better. The Sharks were among one of the worst. They're among the worst teams in the NHL, and I think they've improved. So that helps Karlsson a lot. You've got guys there with Timo Meier and Thomas Hertl, and I think they're sort of gaining a little bit of confidence. And Karlsson, if he can stay healthy, he can sustain this kind of point production. That's a big if, though. I don't know if he can do it for an entire season. I think eventually his body will kind of wear down. Dahlin, I love. He was a high pedigree guy coming, you know, as the number one overall pick. The Sabres are a better team. Dahlin's going to get a ton of minutes. It's not like they're going to take his minutes away. They kind of have to ride him. The blue line's not as deep with Buffalo. So I think as long as Dahlin's on the top power play and he's getting a ton of minutes and the Sabres stay healthy and can keep scoring, I don't see Dahlin going away. I'd be more worried about Karlsson. Karlsson feels like a sell high candidate. And Lindholm, even like we were talking with the Bruins, there's no way Hampus Lindholm keeps up this point pace, especially when McAvoy comes back. So I think Lindholm will regress a little bit. Karlsson, I love right now. I don't know if you're going to get any Norris juice on, like, his Norris odds on DraftKings are up to plus 1200. Dahlin's at plus 1600. So if you're going to get them, now might be the time, but I don't know. I'd be worried about both in terms of betting markets.
And lastly, Ben, is this just the season of Connor McDavid? Like, is he just going to clean everything up, flex his muscles, and then go away in the sunset here?
Yeah, I had that heart piece. I talked a lot about it, and it looks like that's going to be the case. Yeah. He's going to lead the league in points, right? I don't see anyone catching him unless it's Draisaitl. But Draisaitl seems to be leeching a lot of his point production off of McDavid, which is why the odds are so lopsided. Like, Draisaitl's plus 1,300, and McDavid is plus 140 to win MVP at this point. So I don't see McDavid going away. I think it's his award to win. You could have made that argument last season. I think the narrative around Austin Matthews with the 60 goals got him that MVP. But you could have made a case for McDavid leading the league in points. Plus, the Oilers are a really good team. I don't really see anyone competing with McDavid for MVP. I mentioned David Pastrnak as maybe a dark horse if the Bruins keep it up. But Pastrnak would have to be close to them in points, and the Oilers would have to regress a little bit. So I think it's McDavid, and now is the time at plus 140. I mean, his odds aren't going to go down. They're just going to go up. I could see in a month him being at like minus 150, minus 200, and sort of staying there the rest of the season.
And from the top of the board to close to the bottom, the last thing I wanted to ask you, Ben, is what's been going on out there in the desert since the Coyotes have been playing at the College Arena at Arizona State. They seem to be a much more competitive team, right? This is now three straight games. They just beat the Florida Panthers there. They took the Rangers the distance in that game. That was competitive throughout. Lost in overtime to the Winnipeg Jets. I checked, their power play is third in the NHL right now. Are you sensing that these Desert Dogs might be getting up for these games, and maybe there's some betting implications at some point?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely betting implications. Are they going to compete with some of these teams when they're super underdogs? Probably. I mean, the puck line is what I would look at, because they're probably going to be plus 1.5 in a lot of games, and there's times where they'll be competitive. The small arena helps, right? They can probably pack it. The crowd can get into it. The team's really not, it's not that terrible. They have guys who can score, and they're being severely underrated. So again, same deal with DFS. Coyotes are a really good team to target, and I think they'll definitely have some value in the betting markets.
Ben Zwyman, thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Had a great time, and take care.
So one team, Nick, that we haven't really talked that much about that is reeling is the St. Louis Blues. Five straight losses, 25 goals allowed in the span. They're getting blitzed out there. This is not something we've seen from St. Louis. They're a very resilient team. They always get to the playoffs. Are you worried about the St. Louis Blues, or are you buying low on them in fantasy? Because that's the big question that so many fans are asking. Robert Thomas, Jordan Kyrou, Jordan Binnington, the list goes on.
A, not one iota. B, I think it's amazing. I love the hunger and the passion of that market. I have to double take that they had a press conference with Doug Armstrong, their GM. They won the cup like 5 years ago. In my world, you win a cup, you're good for 15 years. The fans can't say anything, but it just shows you accountability in this sport is an amazing thing. And they're 3-5 in the first eight games. As for your question about, you know, the fantasy perspective, you know how I feel about guys after signing massive extensions. And here we see in Thomas and Kyrou, I faded them from the beginning of the season. I want to see a larger sample size before I buy back in. I do love contract year guys. As you know, Ryan O'Reilly is a guy I would completely be buying right now. I think he is the heartbeat of the St. Louis Blues. I think he's going to find a way. So I do think there's some internal value on that roster right now. How about you?
It's kind of a strange time in St. Louis, right? Because, you know, some of the guys that they've invested heavily in, whether it's Torrey Krug, Ryan O'Reilly, they're not performing like they used to. Jordan Binnington, yeah. Same deal. He doesn't have the great backup in Ville Husso like he had last year. You see those breakout guys from last year regressing a little bit. It hasn't even been the shooting percentage for Kyrou. I mean, mm-hmm. He's got no assists. He's minus 13 this season. I mean, that's brutal. So I do have some faith in Kyrou. He's only 24 years old, and he was producing around a point per game last year and doing big things on the power play, 19 power play points. They did. They missed David Perron a little bit, I think, in the offense and on the power play where they were really good last year. But again, it's contract year for Tarasenko. It's kind of like maybe turning of the page a little bit, yeah. Where some of these guys that got them to the title are starting to fall off a little bit.
And again, we got to preface, it's 8 games in, but I do love the accountability factor once again with St. Louis. And I think from a betting perspective, there could be value on that team because I do expect a response from them. Got a juicy question for you. And again, thanks everybody for their questions here via Instagram. A trade scenario, Hyman versus Kreider. What side would you take, Pete?
I would take Chris Kreider. I know that guys like Hyman and Ryan Nugent-Hopkins have been big studs for the Edmonton Oilers that nobody seems to be talking about because of McDavid and Draisaitl. And yeah, by the way, Evander Kane is among the top 10 overall fantasy performers in standard leagues to date. So talk about a guy building off of last year with that opportunity and then, you know, signing longer term and showing that he's well worth it. So, you know, to answer the question, I would go with Chris Kreider though, because that Rangers power play is just so dynamic. And I do think over the course of the season, some of those tips will start to, you know, go back into the net for him. It's tough when the tips aren't going in, right? You could tip it 15 feet wide of the net, you know, but the power play for the Rangers, the metrics are on their side. I think over time it'll start to materialize like it did last year, just because they have so much dynamic talent with Fox and him and Zibanejad, Panarin, you know, and Vincent Trocheck as well.
I will play devil's advocate. I'll go with Zach Hyman with that answer, just more so the attachment to Connor McDavid. And number two, it's the second year of that contract. So he got the jitters out of the way in the first year. I thought he was pretty decent last year. Year two, I think he's going to pop off big time. And I forecasted a bit of regression here with Chris Kreider. Another good one. The tension is palpable through our listeners and our fans here on Twitter. Drop Demko or keep him and give him a bit more time. I think it's an easy hold, right?
Yeah, it is an easy hold, but it's hard to have a lot of faith in that team. I was big on them going into the Devils game, and they fell flat despite getting Quinn Hughes back. The defense is just not very good. So that's going to be something that probably derails them from making the playoffs when it's all said and done. I expect the offense to keep them in games. The forward group is deep. They're a fun team to watch when they are rolling with confidence with Horvat and Miller and Pedersen down the middle. But again, the team is flawed. Usually over the course of a season, when a team has a tragic flaw, they don't make the playoffs. And that's what we've seen happen each of the past 2 years. And it seems to be going down that road once again.
I called it 2 weeks ago with Columbus. I'm calling it for the Vancouver Canucks. They're finished. I'm sorry. I just haven't seen anything defensively speaking, man. They're an absolute train wreck. And that's my bad. I should be accountable on this podcast because I was really high on the Vancouver Canucks and they have stunk up the joint this season. I wanted to hit a couple of injury waiver replacements too. We know Jeremy Swayman a bit dinged up with the Boston Bruins. John Carlson on injured reserve for the Washington Capitals, Pete, man, the injuries just continue to mount for that team. They're defying logic. I think they've actually had a pretty steady start to the season, all things considered. But Eric Gustafson and Dmitry Orlov naturally would be the in-house replacements there. We mentioned Vince Dunn on Monday's show, Brandon Montour, Josh Morrissey, Ryan Pulock. Is there any other defenseman that you're maybe looking at? And what's your expectation now for Washington for a couple games here without John Carlson?
Yeah, Orlov is a rock for them. He covers categories, so if he gets some better offensive usage, that could be huge for them. I'm a little worried about Washington for the rest of the season with all these injuries, and some of their top guys are not producing. Like Evgeny Kuznetsov is having a really rough start to the year, hasn't always been with Ovechkin. We thought he was going to be up there and rolling all season long, but you know, Strom's in the picture and he's played decent. So he's taken away some of those opportunities for Kuznetsov. So yeah, I'm a little worried about Washington just and their chances of making the playoffs just because the East is so jam packed. And even some of these teams, we expected teams like Detroit and Ottawa to be in the mix. We didn't really expect the Devils and the Sabres to be in that mix as well. So that's where like, it's going to get even tougher. And you see it right with the Pittsburgh Penguins. They've lost six in a row. They blew a 2-0 lead against Buffalo on Wednesday. Even a team of that caliber is looking weak right now. And they're hanging in games, but it's getting dicey for teams like Pittsburgh and Washington now.
I love the narrative change too, because to start the year, everybody's like, my goodness, Pittsburgh, they're never going to skip a beat. These guys are the best. Then they go in a bit of a slump and they're the worst team in the league. They're old, right? Like it's just narrative control. Again, things are going to level off as the season goes on. But yeah, there is, I think, reason for concern with the Pittsburgh Penguins. And more so because they blew my parlay on Wednesday night too. They're up big on Buffalo, and Buffalo stormed back and good on them. But I just think you look at Pittsburgh, you just wonder long-term, especially knowing how many good teams there are in that Metro and ditto for the Atlantic Division, if at the end of the day, Pete, there's going to be a spot for the Pittsburgh Penguins in the Stanley Cup playoffs here.
Yeah, I think there still will be. I still like them a little bit more than the Islanders and the Devils, big picture. But yeah, things are starting to even out. And then that could mean one or two injuries. Pittsburgh always deals with injuries, it seems. So it's been good to see Rickard Rakell providing some nice fantasy value. I saw he's among the top 50 overall players right now. That's pretty surprising. And for the past 2 or 3 weeks, he's been scoring every other game. Like literally go back and look at the box score. It's every other game for like about 2+ weeks for Rakell scoring goals. So keep an eye out for Rakell. If it's the other game, he goes scoreless, throw him on your goal prop anytime goal. Right, Nick?
Yeah, exactly. It's funny you bring him up because we mull this over behind the scenes. I had Rickard Rakell for a couple of weeks. Pete, I dumped him the other day, man. I need more consistency. Like, you have that much ice time with Sidney Crosby and you get like one goal every two games. Now he's playing with Malkin. I just haven't seen that consistency from Rickard Rakell. I think there's other guys out there. Jeff Skinner's a guy I wanted to bring up. A 4-game point streak, 2 goals, 6 assists, 8 points, 12 shots on goal. And I was going to ask too, like, do you think it's time on Dominik Kubalik? I know this has been an amazing success story, but he was moved down to line two with Kopp and Perron. You talk about slow starters. Andrew Kopp with Detroit has not done much offensively, but Kubalik, 1 point in the last three, played 13.04 last game. Would you try to sell high as quickly as possible here, Pete?
Yeah, I mean, he's a sell high candidate, as is, you know, Vilardi and guys like that. I like Vilardi a lot. I like what he's doing 5-on-5, regardless of where he's playing in the lineup. And now he's getting elevated, so maybe he'll have staying power. But yeah, with Kubalik, like once Bertuzzi comes back and, you know, hopefully eventually Vrana, it could be tough for him to sustain this Kubalik. So, you know, sell high while you still can, if you still can. A couple other guys. Yeah, Skinner, you mentioned 3 straight multi-point games. Victor Olofsson, we shouted him out on the Monday show. Another multi-goal game. He's up to 4 in that category this year, leading the NHL. Pretty crazy stuff. And then we also got a fan question. I know you touched on him as your pickup of the week on the previous show, Nick. Yeah. But do you think Stuart Skinner takes over in net for the Edmonton Oilers? I don't think so. I think it's maybe a timeshare, but curious to hear your thoughts.
No, I think it's a timeshare too. I think we're seeing that more and more in the NHL these days. You're seeing it with the Vegas Golden Knights. I think it's important to bring that up as well. Aiden Hill is going to see a lot of starts over the next little while. It's just something they've done in the past with Bruce Cassidy. So that's probably the way I would look when it comes to Edmonton. I think there's obviously a lot of value in Stuart Skinner. But Pete, having said that, I still think we're not done talking about the Buffalo Sabres. And this is why. Who delivered the most in fantasy hockey this week? It's time now for the delivery of the week, brought to you by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL. Who do you have, Pete?
I have Tage Thompson. I mean, look at this guy's shot volume. It's enormous. Over the past 4 games, he has 27 shots on goal. He's got 11 points in his past 3 games, including a 6-point game. I mean, that is special delivery on a silver platter. Buffalo Sabres, one of the biggest surprises of the year. And Tage Thompson, again, building off of his enormous season. He's an enormous guy at 6'7", and he's producing in droves right now for Buffalo.
And so is my delivery of the week. It's free delivery, in my opinion. Brock Nelson, the last 3 games, 4 goals and assists, 1 power play goal, 2 game-winning goals, 11 shots on goal. Coming off a 37-goal campaign is Brock Nelson. He's been outstanding and still under 45% owned. Remember, for all your food delivery needs, use Skip. Skip is the official food delivery app of the NHL, Pete Jensen.
Yes, it is. And it's making me hungry just thinking about it. But anyway, so looking at some of these other metrics around the league, like I was looking at Colorado's really been polarizing this year. I know they're going into the Global Series. You could catch that on NHL Network on Friday afternoon and Saturday afternoon. It's Avalanche defending champs, Mikko Rantanen, Arturi Lehkonen against Patrick Laine and the Columbus Blue Jackets. But, you know, you look at best power plays in the NHL, not surprising to see the Avs there, but lowest 5-on-5 shooting percentage in the NHL, Colorado Avalanche, that's a little strange, right? 4.9%. Do you think there's anything to that, or is this like just a bounce back waiting to happen?
Correct me if I'm wrong. You went to Penn State, right?
I did.
So you know what a hangover is, what I'm trying to tell you. That's exactly what we're seeing right now with the Colorado Avalanche, Pete. We're seeing that right now with Colorado, man. Like, I just think they're going through the motions. They had an unbelievable summer. They can't even count how many drinks they had, and all the power to them. It was just a tremendous ride. And on top of that, it's the injuries. I think there will be a point in time where Colorado once again figures out, they wake up from the malaise at like 2 p.m. and say, oh, we're playing hockey again. This is the 2022-23 NHL regular season. They're going to find it again, Pete. I just have nothing to say that they're not going to do it this year.
Yeah, and they still have it's amazing too, because their save percentage is near the top of the league at 5-on-5. That's because they don't allow any shots, right? They have not only Makar and Taves back from injury, they have Bowen Byram, yeah. They have Sammy Girard is healthy. I mean, they still have probably the most loaded defense offensively and defensively in the entire league. So they might manhandle Columbus here in this series. Hopefully it's competitive, but you know, you're starting to see in our rankings Boone Jenner drop out of the top 200, Kent Johnson as well. It's just not one of those teams that you're really going to want a piece of fantasy wise for the entire season at large.
I know producer Bob Bender always says this, but this is the reason why you listen to this podcast, because we told you from the beginning to fade on Johnny Goodrow. So that's all I got to say to wrap things up, Pete. Go ahead.
Sounds good, Nick. So thanks again for listening to all the shows this week. If you haven't caught the Action Network collab for week 4, definitely go check that out. It was a great listen with Nick and Michael Leboff from Action Network. Thanks again to Ben Zwyman for jumping on. Great to catch up with one of our good friends for sure. So we'll be back at you for week 5 waiver wire pickups this coming Monday. Really looking forward to that. So Ben Zwyman, Nick Alberga, Pete Jensen, thanks so much for listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice, presented by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL.